your Bible, if you'd like to follow along. I'll read the passage, then I'll say, "This is the word of the Lord," and the congregation together responds saying, "Thanks be to God." 1 Timothy, Paul's letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1, 12 to 17. "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, and he has considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of the Lord was poured out on me abundantly along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." This is the word of the Lord. May God have his blessing to his word this morning. Our text for this morning is verse 15. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, today two people have joined our church. Adrian joined our church through infant baptism this morning. Or should I say, he was confirmed as a member by infant baptism. Today he was publicly recognized as belonging to our church. And so today he is what we call a baptized member. What that means is that from now on, we have the responsibility and the privilege to teach and encourage and support Adrian so that he might come to faith in Jesus Christ by his grace. Note that we don't treat Adrian like an outsider. No, he's in. It's because he's in, that's why we teach him about Christ, so that he might be led to faith in him. Katarina, she joined the church today too. She is what we call a full member of Calvin Christian Reformed Church. This means she has all the rights and the privileges of full communion. And so, Katarina, you're not just a guest here anymore, or a visitor, or just a friend. No, you're in. You're my sister now. You're my sister in Christ. You're in the family. You're in the family of God. Congratulations. And so all together, we worship our God. We glorify God. Together, we celebrate God. Together, we promote the gospel. Together, we promote the good news. The good news, the gospel that saves, the whole gospel. It goes without saying that the gospel is very important. Actually, it's very important. If truth be told, we don't get this right, that the whole church community can be led astray. Sounds ominous. It's noteworthy that leading the church astray was a big concern for the Apostle Paul. Yep, Paul was confronted by a lot of false teaching in the early church, which is one of the reasons why he wrote to Timothy. He had to watch out too. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, we're talking the very beginning of Paul's letter here. Paul says to Timothy, "Stay in Ephesus so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer." That's how Paul begins his letter, but that's how he ends it too. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 20, Paul says to Timothy, "Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed, and in so doing have wandered from the faith." And so it's clear that the church is always, it has to keep the gospel straight. We've got to keep our teaching straight. Not that that's always easy. Hey, there's a lot of stuff in the Bible. And so where do we even start? to understand the Bible right. Well, how about we start with our text? Yes, our text will do it. There we are, God. Yeah, our text will do it. Our text captures the gospel very, very nicely. This is the center of our faith. This is our faith, people. This is what we promote as a community. This is what we celebrate together. This is what you believe, Katerina. This is what you have joined yourself into. And this is what Adrian got joined into too as well through baptism. Let's look at the text. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's it. Allow me to tear this text apart. Let's look at it closely. Paul says, here is a trustworthy saying. I want to point out that this is the first of five times that Paul says that little line. For whatever reason, Paul, he only says this line in what we call his pastoral epistles. Paul has a number of letters, but 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, along with Titus, they're called the pastoral epistles of Paul. In these epistles, in these letters, Paul addresses a number of pastoral concerns. So they're pastoral epistles. As it is, it's in these pastoral epistles that Paul says five times, here is a trustworthy saying. He says it in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, our text, but then also in chapter 3, verse 1, chapter 4, verse 9, 2 Timothy chapter 11, and also Titus 3, verse 8. What's he saying with this line? When Paul says this little line, basically what he's saying is, hey, let me tell you something that you must not overlook. Allow me to say something on which everything else kind of hinges. I need to state the very center of everything. Please focus with me on what is the most important. Congregation, what is the most important? Let me read it again. Paul says, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul is saying that this is the heart of the church. This is what everything else hinges on. Here's the core, the very core of the gospel. Christ Jesus came into the world. Sinners. Let's look at the saying a little closer, shall we? Isn't it wonderful that the heart of the gospel can be stated in such a simple and reliable terms? I mean, if you think about it, all the talk about Jesus can become very confusing. More books have been written about Jesus than any of us can ever dare to read. There's so much to learn about him and the gospel that he has given to us. I mean, just page your way through 1 Timothy. Just look at what Paul all has to tell us here. He has all kinds of advice and commandments about how to conduct ourselves in worship. He has all kinds of stipulations concerning the roles of elders and deacons in the church. He talks about women in office, no less. He talks about how to handle our money. All kinds of things. And in the face of all this, whatever, we sometimes tend to become confused, we must remember to return to this basic truth. We must find our resting place on the reliable rock bottom of the Christian faith. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Let's tear that trustworthy saying apart for a moment, shall we? Now, I don't want to tear it apart too much, lest I make it complicated again. It speaks so nicely, so clearly all by itself. What does Paul say? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Christ Jesus. Let's start with that first. Actually, what do those terms mean? Christ Jesus. Christ refers to Jesus' title. So, I'm Pastor Ken. Pastor refers to my title, so to speak. Christ refers to Jesus' title. Christ, it literally means anointed one. All people who had big titles in the Bible times were anointed with a flask of oil. Kings were anointed, prophets were anointed, priests were anointed. That is what signified that they were set apart for a special office and title and anointed by the Holy Spirit himself. That's who Jesus was. Jesus was the anointed one. So that's his title. He's the anointed one. And he's anointed into a threefold office. He's the prophet, he is the priest, and he is the king. He's not just any prophet, just any priest, or any king. No, he is the prophet. He is the priest, and he is the king. And so he has become the anointed one. He is the Christ. Quite the title he has. Our text says, Christ, the anointed one, Jesus, came to the world to save sinners. Jesus, that's his personal name. So my name is Pastor Ken. Ken is my personal name. Well, Jesus' name is Jesus. He is Christ Jesus. And interesting what that name means. Jesus' name literally means the Lord saves. How do you like that? The Lord saves. Which is interesting. Jesus' name, name hints at who Jesus actually is then. Jesus actually is the Lord who saves. He is God come into the flesh. He is the Lord come in human form. We celebrate this at Christmas time. Paul says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came into the world, says Paul. Now you think about that. Where did he come from? Well, if he's the Lord, that means he came from up in heaven. He came from a place of glory, a place of happiness. He came from heaven into our world, all in human form. He came into our world of sin, our world of misery, our world of cancer, our world of tears, our world of death. Christ Jesus came into the world to dwell, to hang around with, and to hang around with dying and sinful people. And for what purpose? Why would he do that? To save sinners. Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners. Not nice people. Not perfect people. Nice people, perfect people, they don't need a savior. No, he came to save sinners. Like you, Ryan. Like you, Katarina. And like me. He came to save people who break God's law, who get themselves into trouble because they want to do things their own way, which only brings more misery, which brings God's judgment, which brings God's wrath. But here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, to save them, to save them from God's wrath, to save them from themselves, to save them so that they may be set free, made new, made happy in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. It's so gracious. Isn't it so God-centered? And how did he come to save sinners? By dying on a cross. Dying on the cross in our place, taking what we really all deserve. What an amazing gospel. Brothers and sisters, I want to point out that this trustworthy saying of Paul, this is the foundation then to our faith. It is this idea through which everything else in the Bible finds its connection. I'm not saying that everything else, all the doctrines and stuff in the Bible are not important. Well, for sure they are, but they are important only in that they're connected to this trustworthy saying of Paul in our text. Yes, all the teachings, all the doctrines in the Bible are connected to this trustworthy saying of Paul. Christ Jesus came into the world the same sinners. Even the doctrine of baptism. Someone might be wondering here this morning, what, pray tell, does baptism have to do with the stuff that Paul talks about in our text? What does it have to do with it? Well, let me tell you, everything. I mean, you just consider what the water baptism does. What does the water symbolize? It symbolizes the blood that was shed by Christ on the cross that washes away our sin. Basically, all what baptism is one big statement that says, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners. And so what baptism does is it urges us, it encourages us to think about and to talk about these things, what Paul has written in our text, by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what profession of faith is really all about. This is what you professed this morning, Katarina. What you said this morning is, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save me. We all need to confess this. We all need to talk about these things. And so maybe do that. Maybe talk about these things in our homes. Maybe talk about these things when we're walking down the street, also in our work environments, yes, especially among our unbelieving neighbors, our unbelieving acquaintances and friends. Maybe teach our children about these things. Maybe come to know about what Christ Jesus has done for us. Maybe think about these things. Maybe talk about these things so that we may better praise our God, so that we may better worship our God. Congregation, Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. And all God's people say, Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you for the good news. We thank you for who you are. You are a God of love. But you did not leave us in our sin. But you came down in Jesus Christ to save sinners. So we pray in thankfulness, Father, that this morning we could witness baptism, where even that message is told there. We thank you for the public profession today of Katarina, and for the promises that Ryan and Katarina made together to raise Adrian also in that message. We pray, Father, that we may all understand who we are in and of ourselves. We're all broken. We all need to be saved. We thank you, Father, for our church community, where together, although we're not perfect, no one is here, but we're together as a community looking to Christ, looking for his grace, so that we may put to death the old self of sin, so that a new life may come about. So I pray, Father, for the person who might be in our midst this morning who's maybe never heard this message before. It is profound. We pray, Father, that you see how good you are and what you've done for us in Jesus Christ. So bless the remainder of our worship. May your name be praised and glorified. Hear our prayer, for we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn of praise, Amazing Grace, my chains are gone. We're going to stand together to sing this hymn.